Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Mental Competency and Suspension of Federal Habeas Proceedings Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 8, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Tipples v. Carter and Ryan v. Gonzalez. These death penalty cases considered the scope of the right to counsel in federal habeas proceedings where the convicted individual's mental competency is at issue, whether a federal court can put a state prisoner's habeas claim on perpetual hold until mental competency is restored. The specific question in Tipples v. Carter was whether a capital prisoner possesses a right to competence in federal habeas proceedings under the Supreme Court's 1966 decision in Reyes v. Payton. The analogous question in Ryan v. Gonzalez was whether a state inmate's right to counsel in habeas proceedings where the underlying offense was a capital offense includes a right to a stay of habeas proceedings when the inmate is not competent to assist counsel. In an opinion delivered by Justice Thomas, the court held unanimously that there is no statutory right to competence in federal habeas proceedings, nor does a state prisoner have a right to suspension of federal habeas proceedings if he is judged mentally incompetent. To discuss the case, we have Ron Eisenberg, who is the Deputy District Attorney for the Law Division at the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Eisenberg.
A criminal defendant cannot be tried by a court if the defendant is not mentally competent to understand the charges and assist with his defense. But what about during the defendant's federal habeas corpus appeal? Those habeas proceedings take place 5 or 10 or even 20 years after the trial. Does the court have to find that the defendant is mentally competent at that stage to assist with the complex legal arguments that comprise federal habeas corpus review? That was the issue decided by the U.S. Supreme Court in two recent cases, Ryan v. Gonzalez and Tipples v. Carter. The court was reviewing rulings from two federal appeals courts, the Ninth Circuit and the Sixth Circuit, holding that defendants do have a so-called right to competency during habeas corpus proceedings. And if the defendant is deemed not competent to understand and assist in those proceedings, the habeas appeal is put on hold indefinitely, possibly forever, until the defendant regains competency. Prosecutors have been challenging these rulings in a series of cases for several years. It was only recently that the Supreme Court agreed to review the issue. But to understand these cases, there's a threshold question to consider. Why would a criminal lawyer want to put his client's appeal on hold indefinitely? And why would the prosecution mind if he did? The answer, as is often the case with habeas corpus, is the death penalty. In death penalty cases, all the incentives are upside down. The defendant doesn't usually want the appeal decided. He wants the appeal delayed because the execution can't be carried out until the appeal is over. So when a court puts the appeal on hold indefinitely, that's as good as an indefinite stay of execution. Both Tipples and Ryan are death penalty defendants. Tipples was sentenced to death for beating, anally raping, and stabbing to death his own grandmother. Ryan was sentenced to death for killing a man and stabbing his wife in front of their 7-year-old son during a burglary. Both defendants were tried and convicted in the 1990s. Both lost their state court appeals. Both have now delayed their federal habeas appeals for the last 10 years by virtue of alleged incompetency. But those delays may soon be coming to an end. The Supreme Court did not take kindly to the approach of the courts below and has now struck it down in a unanimous opinion by Justice Clarence Thomas. The court started by addressing the Ninth Circuit. The Court of Appeals had held that habeas corpus petitioners have a right to competency that is derived from the right to counsel. There is a federal statute, Title 18, Section 3599, that requires appointment of counsel for state death penalty defendants who file habeas corpus petitions in federal court after losing their appeals in state court. The Ninth Circuit said that if you have a right to counsel, you have to be mentally competent in order to help your lawyer. The Supreme Court bluntly rejected that reasoning. The court ruled that the circuit court's rationale was, quote, lacking any basis in the statutory text or in Supreme Court precedent. We have never said, the court went on, that the right to competence derives from the right to counsel. The court characterized the Ninth Circuit's conclusions as, quote, puzzling and simply incorrect. As a matter of policy, the Supreme Court explained that habeas corpus proceedings are very different from criminal trials, and that habeas corpus lawyers generally do not require any help from their clients. The court observed that habeas cases seldom involve new evidence. Claims should be apparent from the record. Counsel, said the court, can just read the record. The court also noted that it was not alone in finding the circuit court's ruling to be baseless. Even the defendant himself, said the court, quote, barely defends the Ninth Circuit's interpretation. Having disposed of the Ninth, the court then turned to the Sixth with similar results. The Sixth Circuit had found a right to competency on habeas corpus review, like the Ninth, but relied on a totally different federal statute. This time, the law in question was Section 4241 of Title 18. This section governs competency issues in federal criminal trials. Not surprisingly, the Supreme Court observed that Section 4241 does not even apply in habeas corpus proceedings. Furthermore, said the court, Section 4241 applies exclusively to federal defendants, not to state criminal defendants who file habeas corpus petitions in federal court. Again, the court noted that even the defendant could not justify the ruling of the circuit court below. Quote, we would address Carter's arguments in defense of the Sixth Circuit's decision, but there are none. Apparently, Carter found the Sixth Circuit's reasoning indefensible. We agree. Yet despite the strong language, the Supreme Court does leave a ray of hope for defendants seeking habeas corpus stays based on their alleged incompetency. Although the court found that no statute provides a right to such a stay, it did accept the defendant's argument that federal courts have inherent power to control the progress of a case and may be able to issue stays in appropriate situations. In habeas cases, the appropriate situation might arise in one of the unusual cases where a habeas petitioner has a claim that is not controlled by the existing record. That could happen if the claim could not have been raised previously in state court, and if it was now too late to go back to state court. In such a case, it might be necessary for the federal habeas court to hear new evidence. If the defendant has information about the facts in question, it might be necessary for his lawyer to consult with him. But if the necessary consultation might be impossible if the defendant is mentally incompetent. Even in that limited circumstance, however, the Supreme Court cautioned that federal habeas judges cannot grant indefinite stays like those that occurred here. And if it appears that the defendant may never get better, the habeas court should just proceed on whatever evidence is available. At some point, concluded the court, the state must be allowed to defend its judgment of conviction. So the Ryan Tibbles decision is likely to somewhat reduce delays in capital habeas corpus litigation arising from allegations of mental incompetency. Unfortunately, the issue at stake here was one of only many causes of delays in death penalty litigation. This opinion won't do much to solve that larger problem.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.